dad ever. I know some of you were with us when we were in the park a few weeks ago, and we talked from the same story because that was Father's Day, so it absolutely made sense to speak from that story. But it's just an amazing story that's touched many of our lives in amazing ways. So it's about the best dad in the world and his not very nice son. There is another son in the story, but we're not going to focus on him this morning. And it's a story about how humans, we try to do life on our own. We sort of push God away, but it's also a story how God welcomes us when we, as I say, come to our senses. This is the words in the Bible. It says, come to our senses when we return to him. And it is the best story in the world because it means that even though we mess up, and as one of the girls said earlier, we give thanks for our sins being forgiven. Even though we mess up, even though we deserve God's punishment, we receive only love and forgiveness and grace when we turn around and when we say sorry to him. And it's a true story. But that is what God is like. And as I've been thinking about this story, though, it's left me with a few questions. I don't know about you, as you've been thinking about this story this week. Here's some of the questions that I kind of had in my mind as we were looking at this together. So, for example, how can God just forgive? Does it kind of mean that the things that we do bad don't kind of matter? Do they kind of just sweep them all under the carpet? I mean, what kind of father would that be who didn't care about how his children live? But what about this question? What if I mess up again? What if I come back to him and then I mess up again? Is he going to forgive me again? How many times is he going to let me off or forgive me? And then finally, what does God want from me? What effect should it have on me? How do I kind of live for him instead of living for me? So these were some of the kind of questions I had in my mind as we were looking at the story together this week. And it's worth remembering that individual parts of the Bible, they don't tell us everything about God. They don't tell us everything about how we should live. That is why we have the whole Bible in front of us. And that's why we need to be reading all of it, not just these little bits that we perhaps know a bit better. That's why some of us, Sunday mornings, over the last month or two, we've been looking at the book of Numbers, which is really early in the Bible and not something that many of us are so familiar with. So, to get some answers from some of our questions, we're going to look somewhere else in God's Word, and we're going to look at these verses in John's Gospel, chapter 3. As I say, it's possibly the most famous part of the Bible, perhaps, and for good reason, because in one sentence, it kind of answers many of our questions. Questions about God, questions about what it means for us. So very quickly, we're going to see four amazing things. So let's have a look now. So the amazing thing number one is this: God loves you. I know this is something that Christians say a lot, and maybe it becomes a little bit familiar to us, but it's true. God loves each one of us. It means that God loves people, not the world as such, though he does. It means that he loves people. He loves older people. He loves middle-aged people. He loves young people. He loves children. He loves babies. He also loves unborn babies, by the way. He loves people above everything in the world, because he made us, as one of the girls pointed out earlier. He made us, he created us in his image. So that means we're kind of like God in some ways. So when we think about how we design things, how we create things, how we plan things, how we know what's right and what's wrong, that's kind of God's image in us. And he's given us the job of caring for each other, caring for ourselves, and of course caring for this beautiful world that he has made for us. And very quickly, of course, we can see that we have not done that very well, and we continue to do it badly. But that doesn't stop God loving us. So these words in John chapter 3 that we've been looking at here, they are part of a conversation that Jesus had with a religious leader who thought that God loved him because he was religious. And Jesus said, no, God loves the whole world, not just religious people. And that means, importantly, that God's love is for every one of us here this morning. God's love is for everybody out there as well. But the thing is, none of us deserves, do we? We don't deserve to be loved by God, because we don't get things right. We mess up things a lot of the time. And you've only got to look at the state of our world to see how badly we mess up. We're a little bit like, I would say, that kind of favorite soft toy that we had. Anybody have a toy like this when you were little? And you're probably given it within the first week of your life. And here you are, 7, 8, 15, 35, and you still got this scruffy teddy or rabbit or whatever it was that you were given. And you love it, don't you? You still love it, even though you were sick on it when you were 2 days old and the ears got chewed off and it got dirty and smelly. Once, you probably remember, one of your parents, they put it in the washing machine and it's never been the same since. We're a little bit like that. We're not very clean. We're not very pleasant sometimes. But God still loves us. Not because of who we are. Not because of anything that we've done. God loves us despite who we are. He loves us despite what we've done. So that's one amazing thing that this verse tells us. Secondly, it tells us that he gave us his one and only son. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Now at Christmas, you'll be familiar with Christmas. Who loves Christmas? Yes, we all love Christmas. Well, we celebrate the fact that God sent his only son into the world. But what we forget, though, is why God sent his son into the world. It was so that he would die, so that he would give his life. And we saw that, we're going to see it again in just a moment, from that other verse in 1 John chapter 3, he gave himself for us. So it's not just a nice fluffy story about a baby in a manger surrounded by fluffy toys and adoring parents. It's a story about the king of the universe being stripped of everything, completely humiliated and brutally nailed to a cross. Now, do you think for God giving his son like that, that must have hurt so much? Can you imagine giving one of your children away to suffer in that kind of way? Well, this is Jesus. He is the Son who's always been one with God from before creation, in perfect union, never separated. That absolutely hurt God, but he freely gave his Son because he loves us. Jesus had to come as a human because that was the only way that he could save the world. God can only forgive us, and this is the answer to that first question about how God can welcome us back. He can only welcome us back. He can only forgive us because of Jesus, because Jesus has taken that punishment that we deserve. He has paid the price. Now, if that's not amazing, I don't know what is, but let's move on to the third thing that is amazing in these verses, and that is that he gives us, he offers us eternal life, life that goes on forever. But what exactly is that? You might be thinking, I don't actually like this life very much. Some of you might be thinking a bit like that. Sometimes life is not very pleasant and it can be pretty horrible at the time. So does eternal life just mean more of that? Well, it doesn't mean more of that. It means a different life. It means a good life. Jesus said elsewhere that I have come to give life and give it to the full. So the word eternal doesn't just mean longer, going on forever. It means perfect. It means life as it meant to be. Life in tune with the one that's made us. Life doing what our maker has designed us for. It's God's life. And it's an offer that's there for everybody who chooses to accept it. So if you come to your senses, put your brain in gear, you can come back to the Father and he offers that life. No more guilt, no more shame, just joy with him. That is the offer that God makes to each one of us. He loves us. He gave us his only son. He laid down his life for us. I think we're going to see that. Yeah, in that verse from 1 John chapter 3, in the shape of a cross, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us so that we can have perfect eternal life with him. Three amazing facts. Let's get on to the last one. Amazing fact number four, which is that you only have to believe. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything amazing. You don't have to climb Mount Everest. You don't have to swim across the Pacific. You just have to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him, let's get the right one up, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, in this story that we've been looking at, that Jesus told, it says, yeah, that this lost son came to his senses. He started to think. It was a kind of like a light bulb kind of moment. Turned his brain on, and he thought, my father is good. Oh, I believe in my father. And that is all you have to do. You believe, you receive God's forgiveness as you come back to him and you ask him to forgive you. You just have to believe. Because of course we wouldn't come back to God if we didn't believe that he was there. We believe in him and we return to him. So that's four amazing thanks. God loves you. He really loves you. He gave his one and only son. He offers eternal life. And you don't have to do anything other than believe and come back to him. It's a little bit like this. I don't know if you can read all those words. Hopefully you can read the big words at least. Like ABC, a different way perhaps of remembering how we can come back to God and have that peace with him. Firstly, we have to admit. We have to admit and recognize that we are not perfect, that we've messed up, we've got things wrong, that we're not in a good relationship with God. So we admit that first. That's the A. And then the B, we believe. So we recognize that he is good, that he is perfect, and he's the only one who can forgive us, the only one who can save us. And we turn back to him. And that's the C. It's confessing. It's saying, perhaps out in the open, that's what people do when they get baptized, for example. It's saying, yes, Jesus is my savior. He is going to be my Lord. I want to follow him. So I think one of the last questions I had up earlier was kind of what happens next? Let's say we do all of those things. And what happens the next time we mess up? The next time we get things wrong? Because we do. If you know any Christians here, none of them will say that I've done that once and therefore everything's perfect. I've never done anything wrong since. Nobody will say that. If they do, they don't understand it very well. So the thing is, what we do when we mess up again is we just do this again. We admit we've messed up. We show that we believe. We confess that Jesus is our Lord. He is our Savior. And he died not just for that sin over there, not just for that thing that we did wrong over there. He's died for all of the things that we get wrong in the past, in the present, and in the future. When we mess up, we just come back to him and we ask him to forgive us again. So final question that I had coming out of this week was, what happens next? How do we live for him? How do we live a better life? What does God want us to do next? And it's that word in that passage that we read. So I don't know if you've got a Bible there, but I'm just going to turn back to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And then it says, we ought therefore to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That means other Christians, but also for others. And then it says, if anyone has material possessions, if you have stuff and you see a brother or sister in need and you've got no pity on them, well, the love of God can't be in you. So the love of God in you means that you look out for others and you try and help people and you give from what you have to support others. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech alone, but with actions and in truth. God has called us, as we receive his love and his welcome, to show that love to everybody else. And of course, to show it to him. We show love to God by listening to him as we read his word, as we obey him, as we attempt in his spirit to do the things that he has designed for us. Now, if you want to know any more on that, it happens that Jez is speaking tonight at 6 p.m. We've got a little meeting together, and Jez is going to be speaking from a couple of verses elsewhere in the Bible that basically says it starts off because of his mercy, because of his love, because of his grace, because God has done all of this for us, this is what we do next. So if you're interested in finding out what happens next, come along at 6 p.m. And join us then. But maybe for now, this is the first time that you've been in this position. You've just kind of maybe you've known for a long time that you need forgiveness, that you're not in a perfect relationship with God. Perhaps you're hurting. Now is perhaps the opportunity, the first time you've realized that there is a way of getting peace with the one who made you, the one who loves you. So perhaps today is the day that you're going to say to God, I am sorry. I do believe in you. You are good. You are perfect. You are the one, the only one who can forgive me. And I want to come back. I want to be like that lost son. I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to live at peace with you in your house. So you say sorry. And you say, by faith, I want to come back and be with you. And I want to make the Lord Jesus my Savior because he has died on the cross for me. He's my Savior and he's my Lord. That means I want to serve him now. I want to give my life to him. If that's where you are this morning, we're going to pray in a moment and give you the opportunity, even in your mind, just to say, amen, that's for me. I want to follow Jesus. And if that's something that you do, why not talk to somebody else afterwards? And just share with them, another Christian, what decision that you've made today and how you want to follow Jesus in the rest of your life. We noted this week that Sam was baptized here 10 years ago on Friday. That's correct, isn't it? And that made you about, can I give away your age here? About 12 then, 13, 12, something like that. But of course, he said as well that he became a believer before that. Perhaps the age of some of you guys here, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's no limit, no lower limit, no upper limit to coming to Jesus and giving your life to him. All of us can do that. All of us are called to do that. It's what God wants for us. So whatever your age this morning, I'm going to, let's sing first, shall we? I think we'll sing because the song, can we have the song up? Thanks, Susan. It goes, are you hurting? Broken within. You have to experience some kind of hurt, some kind of recognition that you are not right with God. Are you hurting? Are you broken within? Some of you will recognize this very quickly. Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Well, Jesus, the good news is Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you realize that you cannot sort this out yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the world? Jesus is calling. And then the chorus, thank you. It says, come to the altar, not a literal altar. It's basically come back to God. The Father's arms from the story. His arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, let's stand together and sing, shall we?